Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is it a good Wednesday morning?
We haven't had a good morning in a long time.
It's a hump day edition. And we look into the refrigerator, and we see our team's out of the playoffs. And they can't score runs. And another miserable hump day edition of the show.
And they can't catch a pop-up.
Christian Javier probably hasn't had to catch pop-ups for his whole life.
Where was Walker on that play?
He lost the ball.
He was
the only guy with a catcher. The catcher could have, too, but... Carlos Correa sprinting him from about 180 yards away.
Right.
And Christian Walker's sitting there, and he froze because he couldn't find the ball on the lights. And what a Mickey Mouse-esque stadium. Although I say that, and I'm looking out there, because it does remind me of like going to – I shouldn't say Mickey Mouse. It's a minor league stadium.
Yeah.
And it's a cool little minor league stadium.
Yeah.
It's not built for the major leagues. Now, would I like to sit out there on the grass if it's, 78 degrees and sitting on a towel, eating and drinking and all that, maybe just taking in a game? Yeah, that'd be great.
Up there, it's probably 60-some degrees.
No, they said it was at game time, it was 90.
Oh, wow.
It's the eighth time this year it's been 90 degrees. They said it actually hasn't been bad. It's Sacramento. So you know how you got your microclimates in California crazy. I mean, crazy.
Usually up there at night, it's really cool.
It can be 10 to 15 degrees difference 25 miles away.
It was cooler here than up there.
Yeah, and so they said it's only been eight. It was only the eighth time, but the Astros have been there three of the eight times where it's been 90 at game time.
Hmm.
And so it was yesterday. But it was, if you didn't stay up, I mean.
I'm going to defer to you. But what was the dew point?
Probably not bad.
See, because you're the local weatherman here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Local weather, our dew point's going to be bad today, but it's getting ready to get better for us. We're going to be in the 80s. We have a 53% chance of rain today, by the way, guys. And after the rain, we're going to be in the 80s for a stretch. Now, high 80s, but the dew point should settle in on Thursday or Friday, where the dew point's going to be expected to be in a low 60s. So it should actually be pretty reasonable.
Dell, can you put up the weather chart up on this? And maybe Lance can do... maybe on the video that we do, so that Lance,
it's better than talking about Astros.
Can Lance turn sideways?
Yeah,
so and then we'll see what the bubble looks like we see in those Aladdin weather reporters.
There's the bubble.
Yeah, what he
claims is his bubble, right? Okay, like a Mexican weather girl. That's what he is.
Colombian works too.
Colombian works just fine, right? Inez, is that Inez right there?
Your laptop is,
or is that Lance? Is that Lance or an Inez?
There it is.
There is a bubble. All right. He just blocked Baytown. He just blocked all of Baytown. Okay.
That poor boxing glove.
Boxing glove in my
poor
pants.
Boxing glove.
I had a boxing glove in my pants.
Oh, is that you just happy to see us, or is that a boxing glove in your pants?
I guess I thought that was the other way. If I could really.
Do you want to do that? You sure you want to do that? People already don't like you putting the accent on English words.
Right. Now do Chinese weather report.
Nope. Don't do that.
Well, it appears as though we're going to have
there
rain
it is.
There.
There it is.
That's somebody who was born in the country and who speaks perfect English. What? There's not Chinese people that speak perfect English?
You mean an ABC? American-born Chinese?
Stop. Yeah, ABC.
ABC.
I'm trying to learn some Japanese since we're going to go to Tokyo, and I'm hoping to see some people from Tokyo.
I can teach you some. Oh,
I'm not gonna listen to your Japanese. I can tell you that.
Matsuyama.
But I've got this thing called Jump Speak. I think it's called.
Uh-huh.
And you can learn like immersive languages, and so Japanese is going to be rough.
Yeah, that's
Japanese is going to be rough. After the first page of arigato and konnichiwa, and it was very basic stuff. And then the next section I had to do, I'm like, oh, I don't know that this is going to this is going to be pretty hard. I was going to like surprise my wife knowing some Japanese.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Well, and then you can write it too.
Probably
that'll,
not going to.
That'll be.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, no, it's got the. It's got the letter. It's got, yeah. You know, where you can write it. Ooh, look how mad everyone looks on this stage. Breanna Stewart. Yeah, so it's a distracted show today, and here's why. Christian Javier, you know, he was for a while okay, gave up three runs.
Well, but the second run was also a pop-up that they couldn't get to.
Yeah, but it was still a hit, but it was a dink hit. They didn't. No. There were two hits that were really hard. Nick Kurtz hit him hard, and whoever else went down the left field line hit him really hard. Other than that, he actually was okay.
Yeah, he was okay.
He didn't make it five, but
the offense was awesome again.
Three hits. Two of them came in first inning or second inning.
Another three hit performance.
Three
for our
hits.
Club.
Three.
I mean, you know
hits.
What? There's nothing like stepping up in the
Christian
biggest situations.
Walker. And Jose Altuve is he's in danger of dipping below 250 by the end of the year. He's at 256 right now. He's in danger of hitting in the 240s by the end of the year if he keeps doing what he's doing. It's so bad. And,
he's
and, you know, you're
at
263. John, your only saving grace now is that Detroit is playing so poorly. They beat Skubal yesterday, the Guardians. The Guardians and Mariners cannot be beaten.
Well, guess what? You're not chasing. You're chasing Detroit now. You're
chasing. That's
Detroit.
What I'm saying. You're chasing. Yeah. You're chasing the Tigers, and the Tigers are playing as bad as you are.
Yeah,
maybe worse.
Did you see what happened in that game? What happened and why Skubal may have fallen apart? Like the Guardian, I forgot his name. He was leaning in for a bunt. Skubal hit him in the face with like a 99 mile an hour fastball.
Oh man!
And that changed the game. It was 2-1. It resulted in a strikeout because he offered, but Skubal, as you can imagine, hand in hands, his hat went off his head because he couldn't believe what happened, and then the Guardians put together a rally on him and then obviously closed out the game. But they're up 2-1, hit that guy in the face, and it flipped the game.
Wow. Mm. That's awful. That is I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, going on from that. I mean, how you feel about hitting a guy in the face, it's got to be so difficult to continue.
It's
more difficult on the guy you just hit in the face, but there's nothing.
The focus has got to be pretty tough
for
Skubal. Well, I mean, that's the Tiger stopper, and he couldn't stop it. Right. So now you have a chance of catching the Tigers, but you're fighting the Tigers right now for that spot. And I don't think it's going to change. I mean, the Guardians are playing really good baseball. The Mariners we can forget the Mariners. That's over. They're four games up. The Mariners beat you in a division for the first time in years.
They won again, so it's over.
So they won again. They're four up. They're playing Colorado. That's done. They won the division. You've dropped nine games in a month and a half or less than that. You dropped nine games. You had a five-game lead. Now you're back four. Terrible. But it's not as bad as what's happened with the Tigers. The Tigers have been even worse. But whatever. They had a list of the best teams over the last 50 games. The Astros are 24-26 going into that. I don't know how it aligns if they're now 23-27 in their last 50 or still 24-26, you know, based on what they did in the first game of the, you know, 50, since it's a rolling 50 game number. But the Mariners
and the Guardians.
The Mariners, the Guardians, the Yankees have played the best. The Red Sox and somebody else.
Well, the Red Sox got a gift last night because George Springer hit a double down the line and the umpire called it a foul ball. It went right over the bag. George Springer went ballistic after he called it foul. Would have given the Blue Jays the lead.
Doesn't go ballistic very often.
No. Boston came back and won the game. And so that hurts the Astros as well. I mean, that was a direct shot at the Astros too, because Boston would have been just a game up on the Astros as well in the wild card hunt. You could have caught them too. Now you're two games behind Boston instead. So that one was a dagger, not only for George Springer but for the Astros as well. But it doesn't matter right now. They're playing such bad baseball. I mean, it is incredible how bad they are right now. Offensively, defensively, pitching, everything. They have really, really fallen apart. When it's the most, after they played so well against the Rangers, they have just they've gone back to just being just as awful as you possibly can. I mean, it's boring. It's awful baseball. It's just bad. You're going to have to face, I guess, the Guardians in the first round. You're probably facing the Guardians in the first round, and as hot as they are.
Who are you talking about?
If you make it.
I was going to say, we're not still assuming the Astros, who are out of the playoffs, are making it, right?
No, well, they're only a game back, though. I mean, it's not
they're
like
a game this. Back, but well. Only because, so you have the tiebreaker over the Tigers?
No.
I didn't think so.
You got to be better than them.
Well, you don't have the tiebreaker.
Two games better than them the rest of the way?
Yeah, you have to be a game better than the Tigers. Yeah,
well, from where it stands left. Now, you have to be two
as
games
As bad
better
as
than
they are, as good as the Astros are.
As bad as we are.
The Astros have won 5 of their last 10.
That's okay. Not something you should feel good about.
Detroit's 1-9.
And yet, you still have to be two games better than them the rest of the way.
Over the next 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got 5 games. That's a lot
of
games.
I mean, the good thing, well, it's not, it's kind of good and bad because you actually, and Blummer talked about yesterday, you got to, like, you both have to, one of these teams needs to win the next 2. Like, you either need the Guardians to wipe out the Tigers. You don't want it to go back and forth. Because you need somebody to lose ground, but you also need to win ground. So
yeah, right. All right.
Cal Raleigh, the Cal Raleigh story is incredible. He had another home run yesterday. Like, on a serious note, what he's doing? What's he at now? Is he at 60?
He's at 59, or is that 60?
I mean, do you understand that this was he is just, I think he's at 59 right now, or is it 58? What's current? It's 58.
He's 59.
He's just, is it 59?
He was hitless yesterday.
Oh, he was hitless. Okay. Yeah. What he's done is, you know, he's just a stone's throw away from the vaunted 61. And that stood for decades and decades until they started putting Donadramadil and Benabranadil and Decadonadeca and Bronabrecadeca. And started pumping all that crap in their veins and started hitting at 700. I mean, Roger Maris did it on cigarettes and whiskey. Like you're supposed to do it. Cigarettes and whiskey and just, you know, he's little 50, tryst underneath the stands getting his hands dirty.
Well, and by the way, his hair fell out like he was on Anabol too.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because he was on Anabol, it was because he was because of the pressure that was on him.
Yeah,
during that run.
Yeah,
no, seriously.
He had Raleigh, and he's coming up on 61.
No,
like that
50,
number still means something
right.
to me.
58 right now. So
yeah, but I mean, he's coming up on 61 is what I'm talking about. He's in the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah,
I don't have to tell you it's a career high for him.
No, it's last year he had 34. The year before 30. Mm-hmm. This year he's just better.
Better jump.
He's just better. That's mm-hmm. all. I mean,
seeing it better.
He don't look like Barry Bonds to me, okay? I know you've been intimating all of that.
A lot of guys didn't look like Barry Bonds either.
No, I know, but well, some of them did. Cammy.
He is hitting it far in a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, some
well,
of them
Well, Cammy
did.
Was all rocked up.
Yeah. Cammy was rocked up.
That's and he was juiced to the bejeez.
Yeah, right.
Ripped muscles off of his bone.
Right. Well,
that was a wild time in the 90s. Remember when Cammy came out and said, I think like half the players are using right now, and everyone started freaking out like, shut up. And he's like, oh, I was joking. I didn't mean that. He tried to walk it back in an SI article. No, I didn't. I was exaggerating. Like, no, dude, you said what you meant.
You really
And everyone's like, why are you blowing up the spot, dude? Well, shut up.
All right, when we come back, the other the big news on Kirby yesterday, we'll break it down. On the other side,
oh my God,
CJ Gardner.
What is Nick doing for real?
Well, let's do it on the other side. We'll do it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. And another trade that worked out, by the way. We'll talk about it. HRP is what we're talking about now. When you have an employee it's troublesome. Okay, you have to get rid of him the right way. Okay, so you got to call HR and you got to make sure that the proper process is used. I'm pretty sure there's a team on Kirby that has an HR department, and well, you know, that's all coach. coach can say who can stay and who can go. Well, you ain't the coach of a professional football team. You got a business, and you have to do things the right way. You have to make sure that when you fire someone, when you have to get rid of someone, that it's done properly and through the right channels and for the right reasons. Well, HRP is here. They have helped us along the way on certain issues that we have had. And you know what? You need their counseling. You need the professionalism like that. Otherwise, you could have some big problems. And if you have big problems, it could cost you your business. So you need the right HR. You need the right payroll. And I'm telling you, it's amazing to me how affordable this is. So if you're a business and saying, well, I certainly couldn't afford. Yes, you can. You can afford to have HRP do your payroll, do your HR, do your taxes, and then help you out with all the other stuff. HRP.net. We love them. You will love them, too. Get a free evaluation at 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, what was your favorite C.J. Gardner-Johnson play this year?
Oh, he had one where he turned his back when the running back was coming and got blocked super easy yesterday.
Well,
on Sunday.
Well, there were... Actually, he was responsible for three huge busts, three huge plays in three games that resulted in touchdowns, all of them.
Mm-mm.
So, D'Amico said, so, I mean, sometimes you just can't change the colors of the spots, okay? You can't, I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Tell people what happened, first of all.
Well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson was cut. By the
after three games.
Three games. And there's a lot of stuff going on. Apparently he wouldn't take blame. He didn't take responsibility for his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously is very vocal, and he rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way. He finger pointed.
They say he can't pick up the defense.
And yeah, he just doesn't know what he didn't know what he was doing. Or he just said, screw it, I'm doing what I want to do. And it resulted in three huge plays. Number one, the Rams game, there was a 13-yard touch. This is all according to DJ Bieniemy.
And DJ's getting that from the building.
Yeah.
Don't think for 1 second he's just figuring this out. He's either getting it from a player in the locker room or a coach. Yeah. They want that information out there.
Yes. Davis Allen ran a corner route into the end zone that Gardner Johnson was responsible for. Kamari Lassiter tried to clean up the coverage, but he wasn't able to run him down. Tampa... Baker Mayfield threw an over route to Ryan Miller for a 20-yard touchdown in the game's opening drive. The Texans were in cover two. Gardner Johnson just decided he's going to break off on a 10-yard route by Sterling Shepard. He decided that. And then last week, the Jaguars game, and you made reference to this, that after Brian Thomas caught that long pass, Kamari Lassiter turned around and went, what? And he does that thing where the arms come out.
About,
and where
yeah.
were you and what was going on? You know, where you're blaming somebody else. Well, in fact, he was blaming C.J. Gardner-Johnson because that's where C.J. Gardner-Johnson should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he bit on an out route and went to the out route, and Kamari Lassiter was late in getting to Brian Thomas.
Yeah, I guess what it was supposed to be on the Brian Thomas was that they were in a concept where anything that went outside was going to be, you kind of have to read the, you know, you kind of have to read the combination. It's not easy, but Kamari Lassiter, who had outside leverage, was going to play the outside breaking, whatever stayed on that side of the field, the most outermost route was his,
yeah.
According to DJ Bieniemy, who got it from, obviously, the building. And then whatever the inside route was going to be Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Well, immediately you can see Gardner Johnson from his safety spot dives down inside yeah. as though he's playing man-to-man on the guy in the slot,
yep.
and which kind of screws Lassiter. Now, I had people say, no, you can see he opens his hips and follows Thomas. Well, if he sees Chauncey doing that, Lassiter's got no yeah. choice to say, oh, crap, he's screwing this up. He's in man-to-man coverage. Now I got to Now I got to guard a guy who runs in the 4.3 40s who's got inside leverage on me, which is no chance. And Adam Archuleta, after the play, said, you know, there's a mistake. There was a mistake in the middle of the field. He talked about a coverage issue. He didn't know exactly what it was, but he mentioned he thought there was a blown coverage error.
Yeah.
And there was.
And there was. And there was. And the building is letting everybody know. Because, well, okay, how does this reflect? How does this reflect on Nick?
Look, I like the fact that if you're going to screw – if a guy's not the right guy, if you missed, cut him. Don't try to – you know what I mean? Don't try to cover your own butt by keeping somebody who shouldn't be on a team. But it's just – it's like another – why Nick just is willing to take some chances, and these chances aren't working out. You had – and look, it didn't cost you much. You got rid of Kenyon Green, who you were going to cut, and then you flipped your fifth for their sixth. So,
well, it cost you over $9 million.
Well, yeah, because they converted his money. So what happened was they converted his salary to a signing bonus, meaning they rushed it all to this year. Well, now you're screwed.
Yeah.
Now you don't. I mean, that's that's a lot of money that came in this year. You didn't. It's just another miss on a guy that everyone knew was a character issue. Everyone knows he's going to be on his fifth team already. Everyone knew it. Stephon Diggs, you gave up a second rounder. You got half a year. But best case scenario, you're going to get 1 year out of him. You give him a second rounder for that. And that's not – and there's one more, John. There's one other one that didn't work out. Oh, Deontay Johnson. It didn't. Yeah. It didn't cost you anything.
No.
You brought him in. He was a pain in the ass. You got rid of him after, one playoff game. Remember, they got rid of him after – right? It was after the Chargers game. Because we thought he actually might be a factor in the Chargers game. This guy's out of football. He's such a pain in the butt that he's out of football now. No one can deal with him. What are they bringing in the locker room? For a team that really wants the locker room to be a certain way, why in the world are they bringing these guys in?
Well, they think that the locker room is strong enough to handle them. And,
maybe they are.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they are. I mean, with the guys that you got, the character guys that you do have in there, the Will Anderson Juniors.
It's just like a waste of,
Yeah.
If you're going to be a character team, be a character team.
Sometimes, even, the Patriots were strong enough to handle Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes those guys add a big play making ability. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson was apparent. I mean, he was talking about Jalen Petrie's contract. He was pointing fingers at other guys. He wouldn't take any of the responsibility on any of the breakdowns.
That's so wild.
And listen, you heard D'Amico yesterday, as a matter of fact. The lack of communications. This was directly, Dow, let's see if you can get that ready. This is directly aimed fire point. And it was directed at C.J. Gardner-Johnson when D'Amico was asked about, the touchdowns that they had given up so far. Here is what D'Amico had to say.
When you see a big play that happens on our defense, somewhere along the lines, there's a bust in communication. It all starts with communication, and right, it hasn't been as crisp as it needs to be. So we have to play better. On the defensive side, we got to communicate better, and we got to execute the defense better. It's not been great. We see that. We have to make some adjustments there to make sure we get it corrected.
That is it.
Make some adjustments. We just did, and you know what they did? They made an adjustment. They got that out of the locker room. That's what they did.
Yeah, and when you're not even accountable and you're causing problems, like that guy couldn't even last four games. This is – Philadelphia won a Super Bowl with him, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him for Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
Who they cut. And somebody said, why couldn't you? And there was a couple people I dealt with who said, why didn't they trade him? You guys don't understand. It's not easy to just trade guys. If somebody thinks that you're just going to cut them, they won't give you any picks for them. No. And they're definitely not going to give you picks for somebody who has been a pain in the ass at three different spots or four different spots already. They're not going to do it. They don't want to bring that into their locker room. Plus, if they do, they'll just wait for you to cut them. They're not going to give you a draft pick for them. So not everyone is worth a draft pick. And adding a player who has this kind of – if the Texans who need safety help are cutting a safety at week three, what do you think that tells the team? Who already knows – these teams talk to each other. They know who – you know, their scouts or pro personnel guys on a team who have friends on other teams, and they'll say, hey, before they even sign, what's the deal on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? And they share information so they know. There's no chance anyone's trading for that guy. No chance.
No. You're not getting anything. Just get rid of – just made a mistake. Get him out of the building. It was a $6 million mistake?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. If Hand has probably got to be out. You know how much you can buy with $9.6 million? I mean – you can buy a lot of stuff.
What? Why are you talking about Hannah? Cal likes some expensive stuff, too. You saw that grill he has.
Yeah, that's an expensive grill.
That's not $9 million grill.
Well, what is Hannah buying for $9 million off rip?
Trust me. There's a lot of stuff you can buy with $9 million.
I'm sure Cal has a super yacht he's got to buy on.
What is she buying for $9 million?
Yeah, I don't know.
A third house?
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. I mean, a house down in Galveston, $9 million.
No.
Boom. Boom. Okay? They just lost a house in Galveston.
Not $9 million.
They lost a house in Galveston. Okay? Yeah, it would be a nice house. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me started on what you can buy with $9 million. And instead, they don't have it. Instead, they don't have it, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson does. Okay? While he's looking at Jalen Petrie's contract. I mean, that's ridiculous, too, by the way.
I'm going to try to get DJ on the show.
That is just
he was
ridiculous.
Looking at Petrie's contract?
Yeah, he was saying he was upset with how much somebody else was in the defensive backfield was getting paid.
Ah.
Yeah. So,
well, basically, he's saying, what about this guy? Look how much he makes, and why are you on me? Yeah. Bro, how about you just make a play?
How about you go about the coverage like you're supposed to?
You remember he had that little sit-down exclusive with Aaron Wilson, and he talked about leadership, and he wanted to bring a Super Bowl to town. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I don't know why I've got such a bad rep, why people act like that, because I'm just competitive? Yeah, I had a fight with my own teammates before the Super Bowl because I was tired. I didn't like the way we were practicing or something. No, you just had a fight with your teammates because you can't get along with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, look, hey, it's another strike on Knicks. Even though it was worth the juice, well, I don't know if the juice was worth the squeeze at that much money because you ate up some valuable contract space.
So after, I think, well, I don't know about every game, but the last two games, do you know what his quote has been? I just think, I ain't used to this.
Losing is what he said? Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I was told. I asked about him with the team who said, he's a guy who knows him well. Said he's a guy that you have to be winning to have a chance, even have a chance, because he is a front runner. And if it's not going well, he is going to turn into a cancer, and that's what he was.
Yep.
And all right, he turned into a cancer, obviously.
713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, let's go. 713-780-3776. Right now, a little underdog.
Yeah, underdog fantasy. If you had lower on games played for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, congratulations. I don't think that was offered by Underdog Fantasy. But you never know. I mean, they offer so many stats, and right now, football related, you know, one of the things that I think is a lot of fun is just looking at a Thursday night game and looking at all the stats for one team and the other team on Monday night. You really want to watch the Jets Dolphins? Well, you do if you've got Underdog Fantasy and you start looking at some statistics, you say higher or lower. And there's so many stats for so many players that you're going to find something you really like. And you know, it starts with as few as two players, but you can go up to six and I think sometimes seven. But basically, did you know you can move some of their stats? There's a chance for you to move stats higher to make it harder to attain or easier to attain, depending on which direction you go. But when you do that, it raises your payout. So if you say, oh my gosh, he's going way over these receiving yards, why don't you move them up and then go higher? And then you're going to end up making a bigger payout whenever you hit every single one of your picks. Or you can use the flex option, which means you just have to have two out of three out of four, four out of five, whatever the case may be. Underdog Fantasy means you play along with the games you're watching and you make real money, big money, with your sports knowledge. But all you have to do is download the app, use promo code Lance for your first deposit. Once you make that deposit, as soon as you play $5, your first $5 are going to give you $50 of bonus cash back into your account. Don't miss out. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776. Mike Elko joining us at the top of the hour. You Aggies, let's go. You got to get here. Make sure everybody's listening, okay? Give a call to your Aggie buddies and listen to Mike Elko talk about this big Auburn. We got some good football this weekend, boys. We got some really good football. Not just the Texans and Tennessee, okay? That is great football. So you're gonna, but Saturday, nice.
By the way, we're gonna have DJ Bieniemy from ESPN, who covers. We're gonna have in about 3 minutes.
Oh, good.
So he'll give us the inside scoop on all the stuff the Texans are dealing with.
Yeah. Interesting. The stuff that he wrote for The Athletic.
No. ESPN.
Oh, ESPN.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. Oh, he's here.
I don't know what, Del. I know. I'm going to send it to you. Dell's just screaming, I don't have his number. Like, I don't know that. I'm a pro, Dell. Okay?
How about this? John Mateer going to miss some time. Hand surgery.
Yeah. Well, you run like a maniac. These things are going to happen.
Yeah, but that's a huge loss for
Oklahoma. It's huge. And now, that point spread would make a lot more sense now.
Yeah, he probably doesn't get back for Texas.
I don't think so.
So he got hit. In the pocket, I think he hit the helmet of a guy, or the guy was closing in on him. So it happened on a throw, and he finished the game. But yeah, as much as he runs, you'd think it would happen with him running, but it was actually him playing quarterback from the pocket. And as he made a throw, the guy came in on him. So
that's the worst, hitting your hand on a helmet.
Don't throw like that. Don't throw like that and hit somebody's helmet.
Have you lost your mind right now?
I sent you the number, Dell. Let's call him now.
You've lost your mind, haven't you? Don't throw it.
That's a big law. I don't even know.
That's what CJ does. He's holding on to it. Now you want to not throw it.
I don't know. Do they still have the young kid who was behind him that they played some last year? You know, with the portal the way it is, I don't even know who's behind him now. Mateer. Oklahoma depth chart. Let me take a look here who the Sooners have, because that's going to be a really big deal. I mean, I got some big games coming up. And what a Michael Hawkins. I think he's the one who played last year. He played last year. He was had three touchdown passes, two interceptions. He stepped in for Jackson Arnold early in the year, and then he lost the job back to Jackson Arnold. So he's gonna have to step in and play this year. He's one of threes. He's had three passes and completed one. So that's a big. He's a very good athlete, but that's a lot to bite off with some of the games they have coming up, including the Longhorns, who have a really good defense.
Yeah, that's going to be. You know what? The under in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Under.
It was. Josh Pate told me the numbers he got from FanDuel: 47.5 over under, and 4.5 Texas. Now I think it's going to be something like Texas 7.5 and the over under something like 42.5. Let's get DJ Bieniemy in here from. ESPN. He covers the Houston Texans for ESPN and had some really good intel on the situation going on with the Texans as it relates to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and the dismissal from the team as they waived him. But there's really a lot to talk about. DJ, welcome to the show. Texans are 0-3, 0-3 start, and they always say, before we get to Chauncey, you know, they always say you learn a lot about a team when they have to face real adversity, and they're facing some real adversity right now. What are you seeing from the Texans this year, as opposed to maybe the last couple of years you've covered them from a personality standpoint?
That's a great question. I would say let's start on offense. They're missing the dogs outside of CJ. They obviously have some good players, right? But personality-wise, like, Nico is kind of more, like, laid-back. I'm going to just do my job. We don't have that many rah-rah guys that can, you know, really. Sometimes you need some dude on the offense that's going to cuss the guys out, right? Like, and really demand better. Like, I think last year, week one, the guys on the sidelines that was kind of being that rah-rah people were Joe and Stephon Diggs, right? And that matters. I think this year they just don't have that because your quarterback can only do so much of that. You know what I'm saying? And it feels like he's the only one that does that. And I remember talking on Will Conkler's pod early last August, well, this previous August, and I mentioned like they don't really have that many dogs that you got to worry about him possibly pushing up the coach because things aren't going right. So I would say they're missing down on that side. On defense, I think personality-wise, I think they're roughly still the same. They still play with their hair on fire. They still try to play as one. Obviously, CJ Gardner-Johnson kind of put a wrench in that at times. But even with his mistakes, they still only allow 17 points per game. You know, so I'm kind of curious how much better they'll be now. And they've kind of removed somebody that wasn't jiving with the locker room that well.
Well, obviously, CJ Gardner-Johnson was not jiving. You had a lot of good information behind the scenes. The Texans wanted this information out there, didn't they?
I would say that there's information that hasn't been released yet that might get released later if once I talk to more people. The stuff that I had, that wasn't information that per se, like, the higher-ups at the Texans facility kind of let out. I already knew all that weeks prior. Like, that's why I could report it and be very specific immediately. I already knew all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't say the Texans wanted to get that out, but I know exactly what you mean, right? Like, when Bobby got fired, there's information that the Texans did want to get out, right, that I was able to report. With this one, I wouldn't say that per se. I wouldn't say, to be honest, there's some other stuff that if it got out, that might make it harder for Cedar Gardens off to even get a job.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be tough right now as it is. I mean, he's a very talented player, but a team that won a Super Bowl couldn't wait to get rid of him for Kenyon Green.
Right.
That's a bad look. And now this team gets rid of him after three games. And coaches and personnel people, they talk with each other. I mean, they're friends other teams. And, hey, man, what's the deal with him? Oh, you don't want to mess with him. That's how it works.
Right.
But to John's point, though, I think another important thing, and I had to, somebody was like, this guy's wrong on this. He said it was cover zero on this. I said, look, I'm telling you now, DJ Bienemae is not going on looking at tape and telling you and trying to decipher coverages. He's getting that from inside the building, what the coverages were supposed to be. I said, you can nitpick whatever you want, but I'm telling you right now, if DJ's telling you something off tape, he got that from somebody in that building, whether it's a player or coach, and it's going to be accurate information.
Exactly. You know, I when I saw some of the comments, people were trying to like read it exactly based off of what the typical cover zero is, whether you see it on Madden or you might just see a standard. The Texans run a lot of match coverages where you have to read how the receivers are coming off the ball, how much vertical they get, and you're kind of reading 2-1, sometimes 1-2, and then reacting off of that. I remember talking to Aziz about that. We were just chatting up, and he was explaining, like, that's why we work so much on walkthroughs about these scenarios, because we're not necessarily just going to, you know, I got this guy pre-snap, you got this guy pre-snap on some of their fire zones and things like that, some of their blitzes and things of that nature. So, and again, like, at the end of that play, Kamara's reaction tells you everything you need to know, right? If a guy gets beat, he's not going to turn around and throw his hands up. You know what I'm saying? So, like that one kind of made me – that tickled me a little bit because I was like, oh, man, these people don't really know what they're talking about. Like, they think they know what they're talking about, but that's okay. Like, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's DJ Bienemae, ESPN, with us here this morning on ESPN 97.5. You mentioned Bobby Slowick. What's the regret level right now with Nick Caley?
So I would say, interesting. Well, I would say with Bobby, how does he know they regret losing him? I think it's more like, obviously, we're still waiting to see more with Caley. I think what it might be more is like, we just whisked on another guy, you know? I think it might be more than that than anything. But, you know, I've seen a lot of both of you guys' discussions regarding Bobby, some of Lance's rants. Like, Lance is right about this. Bobby in year three would be way better than what we're seeing from Nick Kelly right now.
Didn't mean he's the answer, but there's no question a third-year guy knows more than a first-year guy. That's just facts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, especially a guy that's never, ever called plays before in his life, like, ever, you know, like, that's a big step up, a big, big, big jump up. And then, again, you're not in a situation where people can deal with your growing pains. You're in a situation where people are trying to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, obviously, he's still struggling to – I think my biggest issue – I think the run game stuff is fine. Like, I actually don't have an issue with that. I think it's just more like the lack of creativity, the lack of plays where guys are just wide open or, like, you're really putting defense in conflict to where, like, the only way for them to make a play is if they have to be, like, a great player, you know? I think a lot of the time is they can just kind of drop in their zones to specific spots and be just fine there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's too much of, from what I kind of can tell, based on people I talk to, a lot of times their routes are changing based off of what the coverage is. And you need your quarterback, receivers, all that to be on the same page all the time. And that's just, not saying it's unrealistic, but that can be tough. And, you know, while watching Liam Cohen's offense versus the Texans offense, it was like night and day. Like, Liam Cohen was trying to actually exploit some of the rules that he could feel that the Texans were going to be in defensively, where Nick Kaling just feel like sometimes he's just calling a plays, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and play calling is really about creating – it's about creating future opportunities. You know, sometimes you show certain things because you want to set up something else or you want to see how a team – that's the whole idea of a 10- and 15-play script is you're showing different things because you want to see what they do defensively. And I get the feeling that Nick Kelly is just trying to figure all that stuff out, which makes sense. I mean, he's never done this before. But that's also, DJ, why I feel like, you know, you're going to hear it louder where people say they need to get rid of Kelly and go to Jerod Johnson.
Right.
Jerod Johnson would be a rookie play caller. Like, you're giving CJ another rookie play caller. It's they're in a tough spot right here. They're just going to have to grow, have the growing pains with Nick Kelly and let him figure it out.
Well, DJ, how much of this was, you know, Slowick was the scapegoat last year, all right? Yeah. But we're finding out this wasn't just about Bobby Slowick last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Bobby was for sure scapegoated. That I can say 1,000%. And again, like, I was on the record saying they should have fired him, even though I reported reasons why they fired him. But again, that's me reporting. This is my opinion. They should not have fired him. But I'm talking to more people. It seems like a top-down operational issue from general manager all the way down. In terms of how they constructed stuff, in terms of offensive philosophy, there's a lot of things that I think that's why I think now that they're 0-3, I think the season's done because I think it's only going to continue to unravel more and more and more. And more people are going to get frustrated on the offensive side, at least on the offensive side. So I just think that it's just going to continue to, like, snowball a little bit, right? Like, they can't lose this week. If they lose this week, like, I don't want to say there'll be mutiny in the locker room. I wouldn't say that. Because I don't really believe that players quit for real. Like, I just coached a Little League football game last Saturday. Those kids quit after the first series when they realized that team's better. And they actually quit. Like that's what quitting looks like. That's how we got it. Kids walking on the field, kids giving up on plays. That's what quitting looks like. No team going to look like that. But I would say that it's going to become easier for the team to tune out D'Amico and things of that nature. So, I would say, man, like, they gotta get a win this weekend, try to get things back on track. But I think offensively, it's a top-down issue from how you constructed the offense, the pieces that you gave, you know, Nick Kelly to work with, at least especially on the offensive line. You know, we all talked about how, you know, they were going to be tougher and smarter and the coaching will be better. But still, like, at the end of the day, it's a talent league at a position that you need talent. So I think it's a top-down thing, starting from Nick Caserio, D'Amico, how they even picked the players in that aspect. So as much as we blame Bobby for X, Y, and Z, those two guys deserve a lot of blame too.
Well, and listen, the players that Nick brought in, but the coaches as well. Popovich is a New England guy. Kelly is a New England guy. I mean, how much of this is being forced? How much pressure do they have from the top because the fans wanted Bobby Slowick gone? And then you bring in a couple of New England guys. I mean, is this because Brian Flores got fired from Miami when he was winning because he couldn't hire an offensive one of the reasons was he couldn't hire an offensive coordinator, right? No,
he and the GM.
So I mean, you can't hire an offensive coordinator.
It was about Tua, though. It was about Tua.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But it was also how many different offensive coordinators did he have through the years? And now D'Amico's going through the same thing.
Possibly.
Yes. 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 I you know, obviously I don't know if, you know, CJ is disliking D'Amico or anything like that. Obviously Tua disliked Brian Flores, but let's say hypothetically, like, I'm not saying this was going on. It's hypothetically, like, you know, CJ and starts to really get frustrated with just everything that's going on around him. Now, if you're ownership, you kind of get to the point where you're like, who do we pick, D'Amico or CJ, to go forward, right? To me, that's the easy answer, right? You go with the quarterback, especially since it's a quarterback league. You need to be able to score points. And you could find a staff that would want to work with CJ as their centerpiece. You know what I'm saying? It's way harder to find a quarterback than it is to find a head coach that you can win a lot of games with. Now, I'm not saying CJ and D'Amico don't see eye to eye. They seem like each other. You know what I'm saying? But again, like, at the end of the day, things can change pretty quickly if the offense continues to struggle, especially from a schematic standpoint. Because, Lance, you know way more about film than I do. But you can tell, because I can tell, there's not a lot of easy answers for CJ when he's out there.
No. You know, what's been really disappointing is they've had max protection, where they've left eight in, and they've had pressure or sacks on three of those four times that I've seen it. And that should never, ever happen. But when two are in the route and those routes are not dynamic routes, they're like, stop routes. Everything's on a vertical plane. They don't have these big wide receivers getting across the hashes on the move.
Yeah.
I don't love the routes. I don't love the separation. Yeah. They're not separating. Yeah. Like, there are no easy solutions. Yeah, I don't think this is an easy fix at all.
Yeah. I completely agree. Like Nick Cayley, I think the second play of the game where he runs the play action has I'm gonna say it's Hutchinson, but Jaden Higgins on that post curl stop route, whatever, and then you had the over route. I'm like, all right, cool, let's see some more of that. But like, even that, like, if you watch, I forgot who it was, or somebody that played it might have been the Seahawks, but they had played the Steelers, and when they ran a play action, they had crossers with both outside receivers. So just continue to run away from the defenders, because that makes it harder for the DBs to cover just naturally. Like, if you have to cover the entire width of the football field, that's a way harder cover than someone running a stop route. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they're fighting and then stopping. Because it's almost like, from a momentum standpoint, if I'm a DB and you cut towards the post and you stop, I'm kind of getting
it. It's easy. You just sit down on that.
All right, guys. Guys, we're going to have to cut it here. We got Mike Elko joining us at the top of the hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 9. DJ, thanks for the insight, man. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon with a win. Maybe a win next time.
Hopefully. So thanks for having me, though.
All right. There's DJ Bieniemy right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got to break it because we got Mike Elko going to be with us on the other side right here on ESPN 97. You're home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about ProDunk. Time to talk about basketball. I mean, listen, that's our only good team. And we're going to be watching our good team, two good teams. We got two great teams, okay? And we're going to be watching them, and your kids are going to be watching them, and they're going to be into basketball, Dad, and they're going to want to play. And instead, just play NBA on your game at your game center. No, get them outside. Let them go outside, get some exercise. Let them go outside and play on the best darn goal that there is in the history of goals. The tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, the rim that you can raise and lower to 5 feet to 10 feet, okay? Somewhere in between, your kids want it so that they can dunk. I don't know how athletic your kids are, probably not very much so. So they want to have fun, Dad. They want the best goal. Your wife wants the best goal. You should want the best goal, too. That the kids will be outside. They'll be playing. They'll love the goal. Everybody will be happy because you got the ProDunk goal. It raises and lowers with a push of a button. It's the best. It's not even arguable. ProDunk.com. Don't go cheap. Go with the best. ProDunk.com.
Allstate Windows and Siding, if you need windows, if you need siding, if you need to beautify your home, if your windows are leaky or maybe just single pane original windows on your home, that's going to cause an issue. You may have chips and cracks in them, and you know where the mower throws rocks at your window, and so you got that hole there and you know it leaks a little bit. Listen, get new windows. Right now, there's a big discount going on right now, 30% off of each window, minimum 10 jobs. And then they have $2,500 off of complete siding jobs when you also get windows. So if you want to beautify your whole entire home, make it look better, make it more energy efficient, and also set it up to where you won't have to make any more corrections to that dilapidated wood, no more painting the exterior, reducing your energy bills by up to 40%, that's going to be Allstate Windows and Siding. 12 months, no payments, and no interest. So pay it off within a year, and there's no interest payments as well. And they've got additional discounts for veterans and seniors. So make sure that you give them a call or go to the website and you can set up your for them to contact you right now. It's 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com.